In this episode of Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview Stephen Nolan, a.k.a. Savant, author of the Aelin Saga novel and NWN module series.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Stephen, Stephen L. Nolan, full name, that's my official title for, as an author, a.k.a. Savant, creator of the Aelin Saga.
Justin here, DM from the Realms of Trinity and member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 149th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. We got a lot of stuff today. We got one of our, I would say, an inaugural episode for an interview for this episode where we interview a actual novel author who had based his novel off of a long series of his single-player modules he did for Neverwinter Nights 1. So Stephen Nolan will be here very shortly to discuss Aelin Saga Chronicles, and it's a great interview, and it's very unique, and I urge everybody to take a gander at it. First, we got some Neverwinter Nights 1 news. Jason will cover that.
Yeah, there's a new persistent world in Neverwinter Nights 1 now. This is a massively customized, been in the making for over 6 years with 700 plus areas. It is Ancillon, the world of Kryn, Superworld by Ancillon Kryn. So get out there and check that out.
Yeah, and I believe it's, by the name, pretty sure it's a Dragonlance-based persistent world. So if you're one of the people out there who loves that series, which I personally do myself, I think that would be one to take a gander at.
Yeah, it looks like you put a lot of effort into this one, so.
Yes, definitely check it out. And Neverwinter Nights 2, we got a couple things. There's a new UI for Neverwinter Nights 2 called the Spell Clock. Spell Clock is a new element in the NWN2 user interface. It's like a digital alarm clock intended to count spell duration. It also can count any other time period. It could be very useful when casting long-term buffing spells and want to know how much time is left before they expire. So I definitely think that's something that could be very useful, but I would have to strongly caution its use on a persistent world, as the longer your server is up, the longer the heartbeats take to go. Sometimes they get stretched out over about 12 to 18 seconds instead of their normal 6. So I would be a little bit, I would really test that out very well, especially if your server isn't rebooted on a very regular basis, because otherwise I could see that becoming a disaster. And we got a couple other things. So as far as the Neverwinter Nights podcast, we have a very special episode coming up in our next episode. It's episode 150, where we're going to have a round table of some of our previous guests, previous hosts, and most of our staff members. So we're going to have a really good time. We're going to go over, just do a recap since episode 100, prior to us taking over the podcast, and then afterwards, so the last 18 episodes, where we discuss, just briefly some of the episodes and our things that we most remember about.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, oh yeah, and also we're even going to throw the unheard blooper reels in. We've been secretly conniving to record some new blooper reels as we do our podcasts. And we got a lot of hilarious material that we're going to drop down, and hopefully everybody loves to get to laugh like we did. I mean, there's been a lot of really funny stuff. It just happens. You don't plan it. It just happens when we're doing the recordings. And I'm sure everybody's, will be familiar with Rowan's awkward pauses. So you're going to hear them raw and live. So whatever we do next week, so it'll be fantastic. And last but not least, as far as Neverwinter Nights 2 news, we have ROT2 Chapter 7 Beta releasing on 10/7. Finally, we've got to the point where we can release this monstrosity of a chapter. As we said before, it's absolutely huge in the sense of the development effort it took. It's actually not the largest chapter, but it is the most heavily scripted. And because there's technically two different paths to take, it's basically double the size. But as a player, when you pick a side, you're only seeing half, at least when you take that your character through that decision tree. So it's definitely definitely very encompassing. A lot of great stuff there. I'm going to be throwing another trailer out for just Chapter 7 in the next upcoming week. I urge everybody, it's a Neverwinter Nights 2 player, check it out to see what we were able to do in the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine. And it's far from dead. There's a lot of things you can do.
So we're going to start testing on the 7th. When do you imagine we will finish testing?
Well, that's a good question. It's strictly going to depend on how much we can get tested, how many beta testers we have to help us out, and also what kind of problems we find. Because we've changed the game mechanics for, like, before our everything in our game was driven by parties. Now it's going to be driven by the groups of PCs in the area. But since the type of work that we're doing is the only reason you're going to be there is if you're already a group. So if somebody accidentally breaks party or logs out and logs back in because they crashed or something, and they forget to re-party, everything will still work as if they're party. So, or at least most of the things will still work as if they're party. I believe all critical things will. So that's going to be a lot of stuff to be tested. There's a lot of new features like that. More just playing player enhancements, I would say, like just user experience. We want to focus on, we've always had a good user experience, but we really wanted to bring it to the next level, especially on something that's complicated as what we did, to make it as smooth and trouble-free. It may be bug-free, but if it's awkward, something gets awkward, or you forgot to party with somebody and you don't get the whatever you expected to get because of that, it's better to have that kind of extra functionality built into the actual module so that people can take full advantage of it. And you're making some items, I hear.
Yeah, I got a slew of them ready to go. Hopefully get some more knocked out in time.
Excellent. That's players love their items. Trinkets. Drops. And not those kind of drops.
Give them plenty of reason to keep coming back.
Absolutely. So we have a lot of good stuff coming up for Realms of Trinity, and we also for the Neverwinter Nights podcast with episode 150. So everybody stay tuned. We have a lot of, got a lot of good stuff coming up, and then the episodes coming up past 150. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up past there that, it's going to be really cool. And we're going to be talking to, we're going to keep in touch with Christopher Escalante and Travis Richards from the Dark Tide and follow their saga of the Dark Tide through as it gets developed in the episode. So we're going to be featuring those as those come out, as well as Stephen Nolan's novels as he releases them. So we're really focusing on these new creations that are outside the actual gameplay but are based in Neverwinter Nights, because they really do expand the whole fully encompassing world of Neverwinter Nights and how much it's really influenced. And I want to make sure that it is the podcast that can be used for people to use for an outlet, be able to talk about their works that might go unnoticed because people are playing the game, they're not looking outside the game. So there's a lot of things that the game inspired that we really would like to really share with you as the community. So, you have anything else?
No, I think I'm ready to start talking with Steven.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking to Steven, and stay tuned. Hey, thanks, Steven, for coming on the show. It is an honor to have you on. I was really surprised to see being able to create a fantastic novel about your module, and it was great to be able to get you to come on for an interview.
Oh, that's no worries. Did you actually get to read any of it?
I actually did. I read a very little bit that I had, my little scraps and strackles of time I was able to read. But I was very impressed, and I'm really glad and happy you're able to come on the show and tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks. No worries.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Your little bit of your personal background and how much D&D background you got?
Sure. I'll start with the D&D background because it's been pretty central to my life since 1993. So yeah, I'm old, and I started DMing 94, 95. Ran pen and paper stuff for many years, and I had some health problems flare up, sort of hereditary stuff, couldn't really do much about it, so I just sort of had to step back from DMing and take care of that, and got back into pen and paper stuff only a few years ago. But prior to that, I was doing Neverwinter Nights. As soon as it came out, I was like, okay, I've got to make stuff for this is awesome. And well, it just sort of grew from there. I mean, I love Neverwinter Nights. It's just so flexible. It took me ages to learn how to do it, of course, but once I got the knack of it, took off.
Can you tell us how you got started on the creation of the Aelin Saga module?
Well, I got the tool set up, and I was just like, okay, what do I do with this? I know. I'll use one of my old D&D modules that I never actually got to run and just sort of start with that. So I created this little town, which became Braxworth, which I just pulled the name out of thin air and didn't really like it all that much, but I stuck with it. And the whole module just grew from there, and so did the story. And yeah, that's how it all started. I didn't have it pre-planned in advance, so to speak. It was like, it was an organic process. The whole story, the whole plot just sort of grew from that, just playing in the tool set.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I know that just from our perspective, I know you'll probably get sick of hearing about it, but it's true. A lot of times when listening to you talk and other guests talk about how their creation starts, sometimes, you know, you get started on something and just things keep, you know, expanding on from there, and you keep building, you know, and that's what's really nice. Did you roll out your module in like phases, like chapters, or did you just roll it out like you just developed it all and then just rolled it out?
Yeah, I did. Well, I did the first module and that just sort of flowed naturally. I just thought, okay, we need another quest here, another quest here. Oh, I've got a story. We'll just keep following this story. But when I thought, okay, there's something deeper behind this, you know, why are these things happening? Why is the king's army elsewhere? You know, there must be a war. So why is that happening? And so the story just kept developing. And then module after module, chapter after chapter, it just sort of kept adding. So the modules were definitely done in sort of chapter form, whereas the story just kept developing from there and went into act form, like, you know, act one, act two, act three, act four. So I sort of did it like a play in that respect, and it just kept growing from there.
That's really cool. Did you like, as far as your module is concerned, have you received Hall of Fame on that? I didn't actually get a chance to check on the vault.
At least one of them did get Hall of Fame. I think the last one, and maybe one of the other ones did.
Oh, well, that's probably a better question. How many individual modules did you release?
Six.
Six. Whoa, that's a good bit. That's a big load of content there. That's fantastic. And don't worry, we will put your module links in the show notes. And if you're listening to this interview, please, after, you know, it's over with, go check it out. And if you're still in Neverwinter Nights 1 player, which there's a ton of you still out there, this would be a fantastic one to check out. So there's my shameless plug.
Thanks. Your content. Go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. That's in quotes. can you give us a little bit the story of you behind the module? Like, what's it based on? Where is it based at? And what's it about? You give it details as you want to.
Sure. I created this world basically for it. It's my own custom world, which is always the most fun to do. It's one kingdom, but it's on an island roughly the size of the UK. But you don't get to see, you know, most of the outside of this one kingdom. It all takes place in the Kingdom of Aeland. And the story is basically, well, the players, because you can have up to six players in the modules, they get stuck in this small town at the beginning. The gates are closed. The mayor's just like, he's not doing his job. He's freaking out. There's bandits to the north, barbarians to the east. And to top it all off, the weather's just turned to crap. It's just constant rain for like 2 weeks. Something weird's going on. So the party sort of start looking into it. And it just sort of grows from there. You start opening the gates, taking care of the problems. And it turns out, you know, there's this whole big conspiracy thing going on behind, you know, closed doors and whatnot. And as the story progresses, you find out more and more, and, you know, the royal family's being threatened. The whole kingdom comes under attack. It just keeps growing. This little things, quest-wise, all the way up to epic level stuff. I mean, this goes from first level way up to level 35 by the end of module number 6. So it's truly an epic story.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. So you actually span between the six modules. It's just a continuation of the story beyond in between the modules.
Most of them do connect directly. Like the first and the second are basically directly connected. Second and the third, I think there's a 3-month span. The third and the fourth is like a 2-year gap. But after that, Act 4 was divided into 3 modules. So there's parts 4, 5, and 6 are basically one story in 3 smaller parts, which was just easier to develop.
Right. That's definitely a smart way of doing it. But I do like the serial nature of how you developed it. And, you know, that is really cool.
So you have 6 modules. How long did it take you to develop all of them?
Okay, the first module was 18 months because there was a learning curve with the tool set and scripting. I knew nothing about scripting at the beginning and I had to learn that from scratch. But the whole thing, I finished it 2 years ago. So but that was with version 2 as well. So I finished the whole saga mid-2008, roughly. That was when I finished the last module, I think it was. And 2009 was when it took me a year to do the revised version for the 1.69 patch content with all the extra features and horses and all that sort of thing. So yeah, it was a good 7 years total.
It's quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I bitch and moan about doing this R server for about 3.5 years. I can only imagine doubling that. I've jumped off the 37-floor building before. I don't know, man. 3.5's tough. I can only imagine 7. Wow.
Yeah, so it was an ordeal. Yeah.
So how big are all the modules then?
Big. Well, the first one, if we're talking running time, like actual playing time.
Yeah, ask the best estimate number of areas.
Well, let's see. The first one was about 15 hours. The second one was at least 20 hours playtime because it was huge. That was actually probably the biggest of the series. Third one was almost as big. So all up, you're looking at probably 50 hours at least playtime, probably more. I mean, it could even be as much as 100 hours if you go through the entire series, read all the little bits and the nooks and crannies, see all the little Easter eggs. It's massive.
It's like, I mean, that's just like big as an actual campaign. I mean, holy mackerel. I mean, if you add that all up, I mean, that's probably bigger than the main campaigns themselves that were created.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. Absolutely. It was, here's a funny thing though. It was supposed to end at Act 3. And so my friend says, I've got this great idea. And I say, okay, let's have a look. And it was fantastic. It was epic. It was like, it was going to stop at like at level 21, 22 originally, but after I read all this stuff, I thought, wow, this goes into the 30s. This is like going beyond anything I thought. So I started introducing these extra elements and it just extended out. I think the last module I did was the most amazing of the lot. It was just really out there. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't played it, but for anyone who has played it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, before we move on, there's this one question I didn't think of asking this. How much, like, as far as custom content's concerned, how much, like, which, like, packages did you use to do it? Did you use the CEP, or did you use Project Q, or?
Yeah, CEP, definitely. Okay. From pretty early on, actually. And I used anything that looked cool. There was a ship model that was done, much, much bigger than the standard one. It was like not a frigate, but certainly, you know, one of those big sailing ships. I used that for an opening scene in Act 2 where I had a naval battle, basically. So anything that looked cool, I put into it. When the kobolds first came out in Neverwinter Nights, the little kobold things, I thought, these look so cool, I've got to integrate them somehow. And I did that throughout the series. Every time someone introduced something cool, oh, I've got to put that in there just to show off the content, show off the stuff that they've done. Integrate it into the story.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, you can't leave out the kobolds, man. That's like leaving out the chicken models, you know? You got to throw a few roosters down again, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Beware the turkin.
Yeah, turkin or maybe a pig or something. You know, you got to get those in there. They had the grit to your body. Farm animals. Anyhow. How closely related is the novel with your single-player module?
Okay, well, it's based on the first module, Nature Abhors a Vacuum. The novel has the same name, and it's pretty close. But I found as I was writing it out and doing some planning, there were going to be some changes. There had to be, because the first module was a little rough in places. I was hoping to transpose the writing straight across and just sort of go, okay, half my novel's written already, so this is going to be easy. But it was actually a little sparse in places, so I had to sort of do my own writing, so to speak. But so it's heavily based upon the module, but the main protagonist is integrated better. There's more, the plot is better integrated. There's a whole section in the middle that I changed out and put in something far more interesting. Things like that. So it's, although it's heavily based on it, there's a lot of new stuff in there that actually works a lot better. So from a story perspective, it's much better. And some of the NPCs have better personalities too. Like the henchman I put in the first module, like the cleric, didn't really have a personality. She was just generic healer person. But in the module, yeah, she's got a full personality and she goes through some stuff. You know, they all have their things that they go through. So it's a proper fantasy novel in that respect.
Well, that's why I was wondering how you handled that. Definitely, you got NPCs in the game. There's a lot of things about them that you can leave up to the player's imagination. Either they can take what they're seeing as just, oh, here's just a healer PC, and that's all it's for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, NPC. Or if a lot of players have, they use imagination, they think that person They're like, okay, you know, they're the town cleric, priest, or whatever, and what's the story behind them? I mean, some people do think to that level, so sometimes it's good to go either way.
Yeah, that's right. I like that in the module. You're absolutely right. In the module, that's great to leave them to fill in the gaps.
Yep.
I found in the novel, you got to put that in there. You got to give them some background. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, another thing that just popped into my beleaguered mind here is the fact that when you do that way, you actually leave yourself open to writing something specific in the novel. You can actually fill out plots, or you could even fill out side stories, all kind of stuff. You're not hampered then with what you wrote in the book. I mean, the module itself. You're not hampered or tied down to that specific, you know, what you've done there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, do you plan on releasing further books about the rest of the saga?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've already started the second book based on the second module. I'm up to chapter 5. I'm blazing through that, and there's probably going to be 5 books, just from this saga.
You mean that'll span the entire story from all 6 modules, or you're talking just the first one?
No, all of it.
All of it.
One book per module, basically, except in the case of the last 3, because as I said, there were 3 parts of the one module. I'm sort of going to compress them into 2 books.
Okay, that's really cool.
I think it might. We'll have to see how it goes.
That's the upfront plan, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. But it may need to be adapted.
Well, that's the prerogative. You're the author. You know what's going to work best, and then, you know, use your best judgment. That's exactly right. I mean, you might run into and say, "Hey, I mean, this doesn't work together. Maybe I should split it up." You know.
Yeah, exactly. And there was also a second saga that I had originally planned to do as modules for, say, you know, Neverwinter Nights 2, but I didn't really get into the tool set. I didn't really like Neverwinter Nights 2 too much, so I didn't feel I wanted to go into doing the second saga, but I am going to do them in novel form. So there's going to be, I've actually got 10 books total that I'm going to do.
Well, you know, see, here's the thing. Now, you could develop them that way, then you can, you know, get some people who do like actually use Neverwinter Nights 2 and actually could do
it. Oh, and transpose it into modules. That's brilliant.
Yeah. there's people. We talked about how many episodes in the past. I mean, there's been a lot of people who are still converting old TSR module material from 1980s and late 70s.
Oh man, I'd love to play that stuff.
Yeah, there's what was it, Jason? It was probably about 3-4 episodes ago we were talking about that.
Yeah, and I think we had quite a few of them on the list that were done that way.
Yeah, actually there is. We were planning for our persistent world to take a couple of them and put them in a side quest. You know, do them up and do them a side quest. So there's certainly, I'll tell you what, there's no reason, especially because you based them on a module, they'd be, I would imagine, would be better easily translated to module material from the book. You know, you already have the background and everything.
Exactly, so, yeah. Interesting.
Right. That's really cool. You know, but, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you didn't like Neverwinter 2. That's just a shame.
Yeah, the tool set broke my brain, and I was like, oh, do I want to go through this again? No.
So did you play it, or you just tried the tool set and the changes were too much?
The whole thing, yeah, the tool set I couldn't get a grasp on. I did play the game. I didn't really care for the style of it. Hard to describe. So it's just the way it sort of played, I guess the animation didn't really grab me. It seemed a bit weak in places, so I just couldn't get into it. I'm sorry. I'm sure a lot of people have enjoyed it and you know, managed to wrangle the tool set into to do what they wanted to do.
I will say this, is we are tool set at NWN2 experts, and it was not an easy task. About ramp up time, it probably took me personally maybe 5 months. 4 to 5 months to really wrangle it in to you know, learn how to do the nooks and crannies and all the nuances. Plus the fact when you probably were doing your sniffing around to see whether or not it would actually work for you, it was probably in its early stages where there was a lot of chronic problems with the application.
Yeah, that's what I encountered. I imagine they fixed it in the meantime.
Oh, they fixed a ton of stuff, but that was the biggest complaint we had from the community, was the fact that that's like matter of fact, when we interviewed Shane Hensley, that he was at the time the executive producer of the new Neverwinter that Cryptic's making, and we were talking to him, and the big thing that they were focusing on was to get the initial release out tight. I mean, stuff working, looking good. Maybe not have every feature that the previous, you know, instantiations had, but at least they would have a nice solid release that the people wouldn't start to play. Because, you know, hey, you know the old adage, first impressions are hard to break.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Look how many people we've talked to or interviewed that are NWN1 content creators, and they're all like, that Neverwhere 2 crap. You know, I can't. I go in there and it made my head hurt, so I never. All right, it didn't work. You know, this, that, and the other, and they just never used it. So, I mean, that plagues the community to this day for Neverwhere 2. So you're right. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right with what you went through.
Well, I don't feel so bad about it now, then, I guess.
No,
oh, another factor, though. Another factor was that I specifically wanted to introduce basic firearms to the story as well, and, you know, the advancement of technology and how it affects the world. In that respect, it was sort of a little science fiction-y, I guess, but, you know, just, you know, gunpowder weapons, and I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to do that, neither NWN 1 or 2. So that's, I sort of had to skip it in that respect.
Yeah, I believe that there is a firearms pack for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Oh, someone did one? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm almost bought. Matter of fact, absolutely, because we, in that episode, we were on Columbus doing the Origins Game Fair. That was one of the news items we covered. There was a module for Neverwinter Nights 1 that actually had firearms. So there's certainly somebody did it. I would scour the vault.
I am going to scour the vault.
Yep. That's a good idea. Hey, we ask this to all our guests, and this is kind of piggybacking on the question we just were talking about. Where do you see the Neverwinter Nights community going in the near future?
Near future? It's interesting because I've been sort of out of the loop for a couple of years since I finished the last of my saga. And I thought, oh, you know, there's probably not that many people playing Neverwinter Nights these days. But I keep going. I went back to look at the forums for my modules, and there's still people coming in on a pretty regular basis and commenting and playing it. And I'm like, this community has endurance. It's enduring. It's continuing onwards. And now we're seeing this Machinima stuff coming out.
Absolutely. Dark Tide.
That's the one. I'm Machinima. Oh, man. Yeah, guys, fantastic stuff.
Guys are awesome. Christopher Escalante and Travis Richards, they're doing a fantastic job. So
yeah, exactly. So near future, who knows? I mean, the flexibility and enduring nature of both Neverwinter Nights is really astonishing to me. So I think, you know, the sky's the limit. It can be adapted to whatever needs to be done. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it definitely is. It's definitely a strengthened community, and that's what I said in the last episode as well. I mean, I was talking about the fact that if the next Neverwinter is going to be a long-term success, it's going to have the elements that the previous ones did. At least as far as giving the ability to the community members to be able to produce content. You know, it may not be exactly the same as what we're used to now, but, you know, everything changes. It's not MMO per se, but it's very similar to an MMO. You're not hosting your own content. It'll be hosted on a public server that, you know, is maintained by not you. So,
okay.
Yeah, you're not. It's not a persistent world in that respect because you're not hosting it, but it still is because it just takes the hosting challenges from you to them.
Hmm.
So you could say that's good or you could say that's bad. People could have both opinions, but I say that if what Shane was telling us holds true and they continue down that road with this mode of development, I really think that it could very well be revolutionary for the Neverwinter community.
To
have everybody on the same page. You know, you're a content developer, you're a module developer. Well, guess what? Now you don't even have to download the module anymore.
Yes.
That's sickening. Think about it. You could do your whole novel in this new, very easy-to-use tool set that you can set it all up without having to invest 6 months of your time to figure out how to use it.
See, that would be pretty revolutionary right there.
Yep. Then you don't have to worry about packing it all up and all the hacks and all that stuff.
God.
So there's better.
There had to be a better way to do it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And by the time you finish the other four novels, that'll probably be ready for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. They pushed off the date until 2012 sometime. So you have plenty of time to get your novel.
Plenty of time.
Plenty
Excellent.
Of time.
Right.
So a couple other real quick things. How do you get your novel for anybody out there? If they want to read it, where do they go?
Okay. Well, you can head to my website, which is www.alansaga.com, and go to the novel section, and it'll take you to basically from there you can link to the Amazon site, because I've written it for the Kindle, as it's, you know, it's an ebook at this point. And if you don't have a Kindle, you don't want to use the Kindle applications for the various platforms, you can also head to smashwords.com, which is a, you know, they've got the same novel in various different formats, you know, for Blackberries, iPads, iPhones, etc. So pretty much any format you want to read it on, it's available. But you can start off at my website and take it from there.
Okay, that sounds good. I have one other thing. So if I wanted to read your novel, would you recommend that I've played the module, or does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of it. It's an enclosed story. It doesn't rely on previous knowledge. I actually wrote it specifically for people who hadn't encountered Neverwinter Nights, because I figured, I've got this great story here. People have loved the story, loved the characters, and yet there's a whole subset of the community that, you know, in general, that won't be enjoying it because they don't play Neverwinter Nights and they don't play video games at all. So I thought, okay, I want to get back into novel writing. And I'm gonna do my modules as novels, just so everyone can read them. And that's how it's proceeding. So,
okay, one last thing. That's all the questions we had. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience before we finish up?
I think we're pretty comprehensive, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I got nothing.
That's all right. Yeah. Well, then, you know, in closing, you know, I'll say this. Once again, thanks for coming on. It's been phenomenal.
Please, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And please, you know, give us updates on your work. And, you know, you got the forum, you have our Facebook page and stuff. And said, yep, please keep giving us updates, and we'll be happy to get them out there on next update, future news segments.
Fantastic. Yeah. Alan Saigra has its own Facebook page as well, so you can update that from time to time as I make progress.
We will make sure that we link ours to yours as well. So, all you listening out there, you can go right from ours to his and be good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're in the mood for a nice fantasy novel, yeah, there it is. It's only $3.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. Everybody get it. Little I've read of it so far is fantastic, so definitely get out there and check it out. And you get the closing line.
Okay, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.